Hello, and welcome to the Ringgold Band podcast series, Sustaining an American Music Tradition. My name is Cindy Miller Ungst, president of the band, and with me is...
Jim Seidel, the director emeritus of the Ringgold Band these days.
Yes.
And our guest today is Jerry Redkay. Jerry, I have known since my very first day in the Ringgold Band, because he's been there longer than I have.
Really?
Yes, he has.
It's been a couple of years, yeah.
Yes. I believe it was 55 years this year. Is that or last
correct.
Year?
Last year.
Last
yeah.
year was,
last
his,
year was
his 55th year.
Wow.
With the band.
And do you know what? For our audience, if they would look at pictures of Jerry 55 years, he looks exactly the same.
He does look exactly
if you look
the same.
At pictures, Jerry never you know? Ages, never
no,
changes.
No, he doesn't. He looks exactly the same.
Looks different to me, but I cannot believe that it's been 55 years.
Yeah. 55
it
years.
Flies by.
Yeah, and that's
really
a, is. I mean, it's good, a good 55 years, I guess, if,
oh,
you, if
absolutely.
You wouldn't have stayed around for that
I, yeah,
amount of time.
Kind of a home body, I guess, but yeah. grew up in this area, raised here, and kind of stuck to the area.
How did you get started with the band?
You know, I've been thinking about that, of course.
That's good.
Goes back a long time. Well, there was always music in the Redkay family.
Okay.
Dad played violin, brother Bob. Played cello. He was in the symphony orchestra.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I didn't know that. Here we go.
Yes, we always learn things.
Uncle Francis, his brother, played flute, and I think there are some pictures where he played some probably spring concerts with Ringgold. So there seems to be a connection as I go through the years, and ever how slight they might be, but
right.
Francis was the first one because he played some with Ringgold. My dad played violin, of course, and his parents played piano. So every time the Redkays got together for a family reunion of some kind or occasion, you know, music broke out. So music, it's always been in the family.
And they must have needed a drummer.
No.
What
they,
got you
they
into...
They could use a second violin, though.
So did you play?
I played violin, yes.
Oh.
And my brother played piano.
Okay.
Piano didn't go well for him, so he switched to trumpet. But he was in trumpet. He was in the band.
Mm-hmm.
Violin was not as, or strings were non-existent in the Weiser area. So eventually I did switch to drums as a second instrument.
Oh.
How about that?
Yeah.
So you,
oh, I'm sorry.
No. So when did you make the switch? Did you?
Violin was strong. Was in the elementary band mm-hmm. with drums.
Mm-hmm.
And as I got further and further in high school, and there was less opportunity to play, I guess the last thing was in ninth grade with County Orchestra. It was kind of the last time I performed
on violin.
And that was when the County Orchestra was probably pretty small.
It looked pretty large to me. No, it was well. It was actually with the chorus. Orchestra and chorus.
And yeah. Orchestra and chorus.
Yes.
So
and that was...
Do you pick it up now?
I don't have mine anymore. I have my dad's.
Oh, uh-huh.
And it's been a while, but I see it there all the time. And
right.
I'm tempted.
You're tempted. You said that county orchestra was the last time you performed officially, but did you still continue to play as a young man?
I did.
I did a little bit. Mm-hmm.
But again, it was drums. That percussion. So here's another connection. Elementary band. There was a conductor and his name was Donald Rentschler.
Oh, I know Donald Rentschler. You know
Donald Rentschler. He actually played again some concerts with Ringgold.
With Ringgold, yeah. And his wife was the vocalist.
So there's that another Ringgold connection.
My.
You met him at Gene's funeral.
Yes, that's
he was
that's
Gene's
right.
best friend. They went into the army together.
That's right.
Okay.
And they
played oboe.
They and he was a sax player in the jazz band over in Germany while Gene was a trumpet player.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Since my brother was playing trumpet, he of course took from
Walter Gear.
Oh,
so I would go in and visit with him and sit there with, I guess, Jerry Hasbrook also had a studio upstairs.
Right downstairs.
Right.
Yeah.
But when I started taking lessons, I went to Whittick's, George Haller. Of course, Buster Haller, who was Ringgold band drummer and bass drum and cymbal player. So the connection kind of continues. I went to Ringgold concerts because Dave was taking lessons from Walter. So I went to those concerts, but in those days, back a couple of years, Haynes Church had 3 concerts in a year, Pottstown, Ringgold, and Allentown all in 1 year. Mm-hmm. So I got a load of concert band during the summer, and I guess that was started the itch.
To play yourself.
To be in an organization like that.
Right, right. So now did your teacher, I'm sorry, what's his name again?
George Haller.
George Haller. Did he invite you to rehearse? No. How did that? No. Because it was a closed, I shouldn't say a closed shop, but I think you, did you need an invitation in those years too?
Well, speaking of that.
I was going to say, could you just talk the fact about, like, I know what it was like when I joined. I felt like I was under Walter's umbrella, and I had this safety net around me that don't mess with him. But I know other people came in, and it was like kind of, I hate to say it, a good old boys club at one point.
Well, it certainly was in those days, too.
Yeah, and well, we're talking 50-plus years ago.
I had an inside. I was taking lessons one day, and these two gentlemen came to the door, and it was Dave Herbine. Okay. Who was a former drummer with Ringgold for a long time, and Brian Holt.
And Brian Holt.
And they were looking for someone, a drummer, to play in the John Philip Sousa Memorial Band.
Okay.
There are a few others who have started their play there.
Yes.
So I guess maybe I played 2 seasons there, and I don't know if that was the end of the band or not, but
it was just a short-lived activity.
Yes.
It was. And then Brian invited me to rehearse with Ringgold, and The rest is history.
Yeah. Because I remember there was, you were there, and Dave Herbine, and Brian, the timpani player, Danny Miller, is that right?
Yes. Miller? Yes.
Was it Dan? I think it was Dan.
Dan Miller.
And then you came on board.
And was Brian in the service at that time? I'm not sure, but
Brian was done with the service when I start coming around.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, did I?
And so that was June of 62. I guess I got my membership, but I rehearsed before that.
Right.
And there was 3 years for the Army, 64 to 67, and that was it. So that was the only break I had.
Wow.
Fortunately for me.
Yes. So in that long tenure that you've had, are there any experiences that stick out or are particularly memorable?
Wow.
Like when Jim fell up the podium at Hill Church.
I wasn't going to mention that, Cindy. But
yeah, that was.
I'm just trying to get the wheels moving.
Well, wait a minute. Fair is fair here. Oh. I remember the time when a flute player came without her instrument.
Oh, my goodness.
So yes. We're even now, right?
Yes, yes, I guess we are. A case. I came with a case.
She did have a case. Oh. She had the case.
I had the case.
Well,
but there was no flute in the case.
It's kind of like Jim came to the podcast today to go right to Ringgold tonight and left his trumpet sitting in a big room at home.
Oh, okay.
Yes. How do you look at the band now? We mentioned briefly the closed shop and how it was essentially all male band,
big time.
And then there are a few Vesta Preska and Elaine Frankie sort of broke the door down there, and then I don't know who the next ones were.
I remember Elaine.
You remember Elaine?
Sure.
But it was very difficult, and you know, it was, people came to rehearsals, and then times changed.
Yeah.
How do you look at where it is right now versus where it was when we started? As far as,
I think big progress, a large progress. You remember the days when there were like 12
at rehearsal?
At rehearsal, yeah.
Those seemed like yesterday.
Good. But we've come a long way since then. I think we have a lot of quality musicians who come regular.
We do.
Who want to be part of the Ringgold Band. The problem isn't with getting the right musicians anymore or having enough musicians. I think the problem is re-educating the community to appreciate concert bands. And I don't know how you do that. It's a whole different world than it used to be in the day of the big band, of the concert.
Oh, it is. It's certainly different.
Everybody had concert bands, every little company in towns. But so I don't know how you get that back. I don't know how we get that back.
Well, we've certainly been working on it.
We've been trying.
The variety and our name, you know, fortunately through some of these podcasts and our advertising has been better and the word of mouth has been better. It's been amazing how many people, like the New Horizons Band, believe it or not, has been one of our biggest promoters because all those people, almost every single one of them never came to a Ringgold concert. And I'll never forget one lady who played in the percussion section and is no longer with us because of health reasons. But she said, I was blown away. I thought it was just a bunch of old men playing marches. And that's unfortunately the stigma that was out there for many, many years.
Yeah, that's the perception. Yeah, it is.
Jerry, you have been, well, I know I'm not going to say this correctly, but such a major contributor to the success of the band and the percussion section for not only for your longevity, but for your musicianship and leadership in the section. And we thank you so much for that. And thank you for coming and talking to us today.
Yeah, I have to echo that because, Jerry had he had a few years of experience on me when I got there to be the conductor. And, you know, that percussion section is what really made my life really easy.
I feel privileged to have been part of the section that we have now with the cadre that we have.
It's amazing. It's an envy of directors that I've
really
seen.
I mean, I've talked to people from all over the country, and they talk about they can't get a drummer. You know, nobody wants to play the bass drum, and you know, that you get people that can play the bass drum, and they can't play a bit of snare drum or a bit of mallets, and you guys just jump around and do it all. And the most exciting part is, I got in a discussion a few 2 years ago at the ACB concert convention where they said, do your percussion players provide their own equipment or do you provide it for them? And I said, well, we have a bass drum and we have timpani and we have a few mallets.
The essentials, yeah.
I said, I have never done a concert where they didn't have what the score called for. And they was like, do you mean they all bring it? I said, yeah. They have all these toys, you know, it's you know, sirens and whistles and bells and crotales and everything you need is always there. And that is just a tribute that you guys lug that stuff.
I think that makes the difference. You go to a band and it calls for castanets. I don't have any. I'll play tambourine. You make do or you don't play it.
Right.
Yeah.
What makes Ringgold stand out is we try to have that.
Oh, that element makes a big difference.
Piece of musical equipment that you need.
And the other part is you gentlemen have such a history of understanding what traditional band music was about.
And Mr. Holt leads the way in that.
Yes. Yeah, they really do.
Well, now our audience really needs to check out our website and come out and see this.
Absolutely.
Actually, this ballet in the percussion section as they cover all the parts.
It really is.
It is. It's the choreography at its best. It really is. So, Jerry, thank you so much for taking the time to come and see us.
Right.
Our audience, please check us out at www.ringgoldband.com. And this is Cindy Miller Unz.
And Jim Seidel thanking Jerry Redke once again for all his years. We appreciate it, Jerry.
Thank you.
And until we meet again, have a wonderful day.